All right, just to start off, a few quick announcements for those online. We have Zoom question and answer at 1 o'clock for everybody to join. Please join that. It helps to give you understanding on questions. You're not expected to know them immediately, so take advantage of when we have those question and answer times. Tomorrow is men's question and answer at 7 p.m. on Zoom. I encourage the men to join that. God willing, second and fourth Sundays after second and fourth Sundays. It's the Monday after those. So we have you to join. And after third Sundays is women's question and answer. So all are invited for it. And it's for your time to put out your questions on what we're going over or any other question in the Lord. Also, the 29th of this month, we'll be having our first this year fellowship luncheon. We're going to try to have that a couple of times this year, so we'll let you know when we're having it. We encourage those who can come on out and fellowship, which is a very important part of our walk. Now, continuing on, purposeful interactions. Now, the first part is we set the foundation of where each and every Christian is supposed to be with everybody. We got to see what we need to be, and hopefully, and this is why, let me be very careful, because when we talk about studying God's word, we don't want to make it seem like an academic thing. It's a necessary steps of instruction. If not, you'll do your own thing and you'll want credit for it. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? It's like your teacher giving you a math paper and you draw a picture on it and you want a grade on the picture. No, you were supposed to do the lessons on there. You have a lot of people, once again, who claim to be Christian, doing their own thing, and they want godly credit. But God already said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. We're not showing reverence. So our study time is not for us to just say, I enjoy what I'm reading. It is our instruction. You don't know the instruction. You can't follow the instruction. You don't follow the instruction. Are you really a Christian? And that's the question we have to come into play, okay? So this part, how we are with one another. So we set the foundation. Let's see what we've learned on the foundational part of that, because that's so necessary. Well, first of all, when we were unbelievers, we did things unspiritual. Now that we are Christians, we must put unspiritual behind us. Unfortunately, in our world today, we mix the two. That's not what you're supposed to do. You don't become Christian and then add some extra elements to what you already are. You change. Do you understand that? You no longer do it unspiritual. This is why many are very confused and frustrated and have a hard time, because I still try to do stuff fleshly and try to be spiritual, even though they're going different ways. You can't. Those who think they're doing it are fooling themselves, okay? So we have to be spiritual. It is a way of life that I have to be hearing. We are to deal with Christians different than unbelievers. So when you get that person that says, I treat everybody the same, once again, they don't get it, right? They get it their own way, but they're not getting God's way. God's the one who told us we have to treat them different. We started off with that last week where he showed the difference in 1 Corinthians 5. Read it again, where he says, if one group does it, how am I supposed to treat them? If another group does it, how am I supposed to do it? So I got to know the difference. So there is a difference. And there's a difference in relationship that we're supposed to have with them. We are really not supposed to get involved with world affairs. One thing that's disturbing, and it should bother everyone, especially around election times, is how Christians take sides. There is no such thing as a liberal Christian. There is no such thing as a conservative Christian. There are only Christians. Now, you get caught up in all that other nonsense, you're being corrupted, plain and simple. You're being corrupted. Any of them that try to claim, and you get lost enough to get lost in that, and you start participating in that corruption. Because in order to be one of those, you have to add these worldly elements. You get that, all right? Because you find there's dirt in both, very bad dirt in both, that doesn't go with God. Do not be amongst them in that sense. We are supposed to be strangers and aliens ministering to the world. We must live wise. Wise based on God. Please don't live worldly wise. Worldly wise is not wise. We've invited too many worldly wise people to help structure the church, and they really distorted the church. And a lot of people follow worldly wise people, and they get caught up in their big words and their degrees and all this other nonsense, and they're saying stuff that's not in God's word, and we're following. We have to be godly wise. It's going to be bent in the Bible. It's going to be led by the Spirit. We have to show godly love, not worldly love. You show worldly love, it's the worldly love is based on desire. It's corrupt. You've got to know what godly love is. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us the elements of godly love. Cannot show any favoritism at all. When you hear a group talk bad about one group and love another group, and they're both groups, that's favoritism. I don't care if they're completely right when they talk bad about this one group. Do you understand? If you're not doing it across the board, if you're not treating everybody the exact same way in the Lord, that's the way God says it. God will tell us when to treat different groups. Because some of you may go, well, if I treat unbelievers one way and believers another way, isn't that favoritism? No, because God said so. Favoritism is only when it's based on you or the world. If the world says, hey, treat this group real bad. There was a group out there of Christians who had this thing, and I think a couple of years ago, where they would beat up on Muslims bad. Okay. Are the Muslims is that group and what they follow bad? Absolutely. I'm supposed to minister to them. However, you talked about in the other group, you talked about the Mormons out there, they were a little more compassionate, a little more merciful. That was favoritism. They were sinning. You don't do that. You don't pick a side and bash them, and the other side you have mercy. If you don't have mercy for all, you don't have mercy because you're showing favoritism. Remember that verse where he says judgment, when anybody shows judgment without mercy will be shown to them. Keep playing games. And that's what's going to happen to you. Correct communication. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We all have to do that. Every Christian and every country. You can't be one of those people that I don't communicate that with. Oh, no, you don't have a choice in that. That's a godly command of how we're all supposed to communicate. That's why that's a spiritual way and it's the right way of doing it. Nothing fully based on me or how I see it. We're going to talk about that more today. We recognize true Christians by their fruit and their purity. The Bible showed that. The fruit will be shown how you live. Your purity will be shown how you live. The fruit will display Christ parts in there. That's why we do the fruit every year, to show that you are showing Christ. Purity will be living completely by the Bible, not adding, not taking away from it. Remember, it says they deny him by their actions. You will know them by their fruit. So this is how you know the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, not just with them saying. Even though they said you're supposed to have some actions with them, you recognize. And you got to recognize you, because that goes for you as well. I always say, don't go into defending yourself with, I'm this Christian, you better call me it. Recognize you are. Hopefully you got a chance to listen to one of my steps where it says, make sure you're not claiming it. Sure it. Make sure. Don't be part of that group that goes, Lord, Lord, didn't I know you? No, because it's too late then. Live your life making sure with the guidelines that he put out for us. So that's what we learned last week. Now, going into this week is where we go into our relationship with other believers. Now, these are musts, what we're about to go over, because God put them in place. So you can't do it your way and just say, that's how I am with other believers. You don't do what he says, you're not doing it. That's called disobedience. Do you understand that? And once again, it puts your Christianity in question. So this is so important that we take what he is saying here. So pay close attention. First of all, evidence that we are truly Christians will be us loving our brothers. That's the first part. And please understand this, because I hear Christians do this sometimes. They'll treat them like garbage, but they'll say, oh, but I love them. That's, y'all do know that's meaningless, right? Because remember, he says, do not love with words, but love in action and in truth. Remember, action and in truth means how I am, and it better be based on the word. If I love in any other way, I'm not loving you at all. Do y'all get this? Okay, that's important for you to know that, because that statement of, oh, I still love them while I'm acting different, I'm still showing hate. Now that you know that, look what he says here in 1 John 3:14-15. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life. Y'all see this? So this is for us. How do I know I'm a Christian? I know I'm truly a Christian, or I've passed from death to life because what? We love our brothers. So that's especially with believers, okay? That when it says brothers in the Bible, it's talking about just believers usually. When it says neighbors in the Bible, it's talking about everyone, okay? So this one is really putting emphasis on how I am with other Christians. You understand? It doesn't separate them from where they live. It doesn't separate them from race. It doesn't separate them from being one church and another church. If they are a Christian, I have to love them. It says, anyone who does not love remains in death. Now, what he's saying there is no middle. Like is a human term, something we use. You either love them or you hate them. Do y'all catch that? You either love them or you can't have this middle. I love this group. This group is in the middle and I hate that. You can't have that. If you don't love them, you hate them. And that's what he's showing. He's saying anyone who does not love remains in death. Translation. If I remain not loving my brother, I'm not a Christian. I don't care how much you want to fight it. God's the one who has told us what it is. So if I'm not showing love, it puts my Christianity into question. Do you understand that? He says, anyone who hates his brother, do you notice how he goes right into hate? Because that's the same when you don't love. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you have more murders. I see more Christians who hold grudges, who hold attitudes, who hold things against, who react out of their emotional whatever, and they'll still say, but I love them. And Christ is going, no, you don't. Because remember, he says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Now, this nonsense you're going through is not love. Away from me, you evildoer. Do you want to put yourself in that danger with your attitude, with your fighting? I don't care what they do. You want to go to hell because you want to have an attitude with them. Go right ahead. As foolish as that is. Do you understand that? He says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know, watch this, no murderer has eternal life in him. Y'all catch that? Y'all see that understanding in there? So he's making that very clear that if I'm not loving, I'm hating. If I'm hating, I'm hellbound. I know we have twisted this and we kind of not read this because in today's world, you'll go, but everybody does that. I heard ministers go, that means a whole bunch of people going to hell. Absolutely. And that's why we give the warning. Because right now is the me age. Why do you think he called this time terrible times? We're really going to talk about the terrible times and what it has done and show you that at the end of this. Also, the love we show must be from Christ and it will minister to the world. Okay, so now my relationship with other Christians isn't a Keith relationship with other Christians. It's actually based on something precise. He says in John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you. Love one another. Watch this. As I have loved you. Oh, wait a minute. So I can't love you my way. I can't love you the way you think. I have to love you the way Christ has loved. Wait a minute, there's more to it. I'm going to give you this in a nutshell of how he loved. So he makes clear why. He says, so you must, everybody say must, love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. In other words, I won't have to tell them I'm a Christian how I am with you. Now, if I just show an emotional love, doesn't do it. If I show a personal love, all these are not love, doesn't do it. Friendly love, doesn't do it. Only when I show the agape love imitating Christ is when that will show to the world. Wait a minute, those are God's people. That's a divine thing that happens. Reason why they don't know the difference, we don't show this type of love. We're not showing it the way Christ does. I watch people, they're nice to other people. It's not love. They're kind in a worldly way to other people. That's not love. They give in to please other people. That's not love. Do you get it? Watch how Christ loves. He says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If. Reason why our ministry is failing so much, this right here. Christians are right now so siloed into different groups. We've allowed our political beliefs. We allow doggone conspiracies to come on. We have allowed what we desire to get in the way of what God says. We should take what we desire and throw it out the window if it does anything to separate. But we don't do that. We go find groups that agree with our desires and we join that group, even though it's separating us from this other group that joined another group. And right now the body is being separated. Terrible time. And we're allowing it because we are participating. We'll say, oh no, I love. Oh, remember, don't play the game. God will not be mocked. We like to go, I love. Do you? Is the question. Are you truly showing godly love to all Christians? Are you? And not, well, look at how they're treating me. We didn't say anything about that. It's going to be fully based on you. Pay close attention. Now, understanding, Matthew 16:23 gives an example. If you notice, when he said, when Peter responded to him, then he gave the story of telling them, hey, I'm going to have to die. He was teaching. He was like, I'm going to have to go through a bunch of things, then I'm going to have to die, but I'll rise again. So in his human compassion love, Peter responded, oh, no, this will never happen to you. Now, I can tell you how most of our response would be. Oh, Peter, I know you love me, right? Peter, we know you mean well. We know you're doing the best you can. What did Jesus say? He said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. Why did he say that? He says, because you have in mind the things of God. I mean, you have in mind the things of men, not the things of God. That's going to be the key to our love. How I am with you has to be fully based on God. Fully based on God. We're going to talk about that at the end of this, okay? There's something I got to make sure we go over. It can't be emotionally based. It cannot be desirably based. It has to be fully based on God. That means there are going to be some things I'm going to have to react to you because God said it, even though I don't want it. That's very important for us to know that, because there's too many people who try to make them both the same. I'll do it when I feel like it. You and God are not in the same wavelength. You better be on his wavelength. Do you understand this? Get rid of these attitudes. Get rid of these things that you have. You want to go to hell, that's your choice. But it's foolish. Why would you do that due to some personal attitude when he gives us eternity? We're going to see how to do that. Now, to love as Christ, we must obey the word in order to have what's called sincere love for believers. Now, in our worldly teachings, when you hear the word sincere, you usually think, I truly feel it. Right? When you say, I sincerely feel this, you usually base it on you. That makes sense, doesn't it? It's not what the Bible bases it on, believe it or not. Look what he says in 1 Peter 1:22. He says, now that you have purified yourselves, how did I purify myself? By what? Obeying the truth. Now, if we stop there, some of us will go, that means I'm not pure. Because I have to read the truth, then I have to live it. Because you got some. Bible's meaningless. Church is meaningless. So they're already done with this. They're not pure. Then you got those, man, they're excellent readers. They ain't applying it. They're not pure. You get where I'm coming from. If I study it and I don't understand it, but I ask no question, this is why we made question and answer. And I don't ask, and I just stay in ignorance when I have opportunities to get an understanding. And I'm still not doing it. Did y'all catch it? In other words, when he says to pursue it, that's a person who's going, oh, I got to get it. Not, oh, well, I got other things to do. I don't have time to know. You'll go, I have to know this. This is my life. Do you get it? Unless the word itself tells you, nope, you don't have to know it. You better know it. So you go out of your way to go, Pastor, we need to talk about this because I need to know this. That's how you purify yourself. If you don't purify yourself, something is not going to happen. And it's a domino effect. He says, now that you have purified yourself. So we have to first get past that by obeying the truth. So that, okay, so when I obey the truth, it puts me in a position to do something. What? You have sincere love for your brothers. Do you know this has nothing to do with you? Sincere love, when the Bible speaks of the word sincere, that's in God. When the world speaks of sincere, that's in you. See the difference? See, when I think I'm sincerely loving you and me, it's when I feel it. But when you start trusting in you, you're not a Christian. Do y'all get it? Because we're not supposed to be following us anyway. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants you to feel. He did with Eve. He made her feel. So she saw, she felt, she took, gave it to her husband. He felt, he saw, they took, they sinned. Nowhere did God go, how did you feel? That's why worldly counselors, first thing they'll go is, how do you feel about this? Godly counselors, God said. See the difference? Usually we'll run away from godly counselors because I don't want you telling me what I have to do. I want you to see what I would like to do. Isn't that how we do it? Because it's all about us. And we blow it. But sincere love is I love you because God said, not because of what I feel. Y'all catch that? I can get a deep feeling that'll never go away. That's the flesh. That's how corrupt the flesh is. But what I show you in my actions is going to be completely in line with God. That's beating your body. That's taking your thoughts captive. That's what we're supposed to do. You get it? That's why he says, love your enemy. Too many of us want people to be in our likable way before we show them love. You're not a Christian. You see how this works? He says, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. And then he gives us this command, love one another deeply from the heart. And I got to do it the right way. I don't want your worldly love. I don't want your worldly compassion. I don't want your worldly ways. That's not love. So I have to really know Christ. I have to obey the word in order to truly love him. And that puts us in a mindset of, wait, that means I better be in this word. I better know this word. This isn't some casual thing I do. This is something I better do daily with the purpose of doing what the word says. The deep love we have for one another covers sins. It helps one another in sins. 1 Peter 4, 8 to 10 says, above all, love each other deeply. Now, if I have this emotional love for you, that's not loving you deeply. And the reason why I keep throwing all these out, because a lot of us have emotional relationships with one another, and we call that deep love. It's not deep love. Godly love will know when to start, when to stop. You'll be able to read the room. You'll be quick to listen. I'll know you. I won't react out of me. Have you ever had somebody that was pushy? Me and my wife were talking, and there was a person who needs something, okay? Humans will go, so I'm going to go give it to them. We're going to go do it. Like, they need to exercise. So I'm going to go over there. I'm going to make them exercise. Isn't that how we do it sometimes? That's a human's way of, I'm going to show tough love. That's a human's way of doing it. The Bible never forces anything. So where are we getting that from? Where do we get it? That was a human way of love. But we think we're going to go force it on. No. Remember, he says, remove the plank out of your eye so you can help them to see. My job is to help you to see. But I back off until you're ready. That's true love. Not forcing. But you got a lot of people, call themselves Christians, forcing people. Because it's what the world said to do. Even though you can't find that in the Bible. There is no forcing. He didn't force the disciples. He didn't force any other Christian. He provided. Now you do what you're going to do. And that's how we love. So to love each other deeply, I got to do it correctly. I got to do what the word says, not my way of. I had friends that would do that. They would love me worldly, deeply, and it would disturb me. It would cause a stumbling block. I avoid them. You see what happens when you love incorrectly, deeply, they avoid you. Do you see this? Right? Because it's all about you. You're trying to do it your way. Your way may work for you, but it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for them. It may work for this person. It's something that's not consistent. The only thing that's eternal is God. And this is why he gives us this. And he makes clear, love each other because love covers over a multitude of sins. What does that mean? Does it mean it allows sin? No. It's the thing that heals and fixes sin. When it says covers, it patches that sin that that person is going to when I show them true godly love. It's the thing that's going to truly help them, not tough love. Tough love in God is much different. Tough love, if worldly love is, I'm going to overbearingly, that's why you'll hear tough love will have interventions. I'm going to corner you in the room and I'm going to force you to do what you're doing. Look in the Bible, name all the interventions. There's not one. However, godly tough love is disassociation. Till you're ready, I'm backing off. See the difference? Did you catch that? I can't. As long as you are, we can't. Tough love. That's now godly tough love, because that's what the Bible says. What do we do? Oh, I don't agree with that. I'm going to go after him. And this is what we do all the time. We add our own elements and tell God, this is what I'm going to do. And God steps back. Go ahead. In your disobedience, you're causing people to fall. In your version of love, you're causing people to fall. Disobedience and reverence makes me do it his way and allow him to take it from there. And I have no right to say, I think this is going to work better. Do y'all get this? So we follow this. It says in verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, hospitality is where you have my undivided attention. That's what it means. We use it as, if you come over, I'm going to offer you some lemonade and something to eat and something to drink, whatever. That's all nice. But hospitality in the word means undivided attention. I need to talk to you. Okay, nothing else is going to get in the way. What do you want to talk? That's hospitality. And we're supposed to offer it without grumbling. Oh, so-and-such wants to talk to me. They want to talk about. You understand? Don't we get that way? They always want to talk. I don't understand. That's the wrong. That's a sin. We have no right to do that. Verse 10 said, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. One thing people don't realize, the gifts of the Spirit were for us to use for the church. Did y'all know that? Gifts of the Spirit were for us to use for the body of Christ, not to put on show for the world. It was meant to edify the church. That's the key. That's a whole nother study, but just to let you know that. Our gifts was made to serve the body in order for the body to minister to the world. That's what it's supposed to do, to edify. 1 Corinthians 14 breaks that down if you want to see it, because that's where it told him. That's where it talked about tongues versus prophecy, because you had a bunch of people want to speak tongues, and we got in that age again. We got a bunch of people running around doing tongues, doing nothing for anybody. Because it said, unless you have an interpreter, nobody's getting anything out of it. Until you get these ministers going, yes, they are. It's doing this special thing out there where it's healing people. Nowhere did the Bible say that. But what's disturbing is you had Christians that believed it still. Even though nowhere in the Bible it says, you still had Christians going, no, I heard, and I seen, and it worked. And you go, where's that at in the Bible? Simple way of testing, because he told us to test everything. And we get caught up in what people say, not what the Bible said. Why is that? Do we truly trust in God, or do we trust in God based on us? And that's the key. So I have to use these gifts for the body, to edify the body, for us to be together. You're going to see a main theme when it comes to us. You'll see that we are to live making our brothers a godly priority in our lives. Okay, godly priority. Once again, godly priority. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another. Watch this, in brotherly love. That's where we get the word Philadelphia. It's philiat, which means brotherly love, love as brothers. I used to think this brotherly love went for Christians and it went for family. It doesn't, actually. It does not. Family love, that familiar love or that blood love, is called stergo. That's a natural love, is what you call it. Okay? Brotherly love is spiritual. That means I love you like a brother. In reality, we are supposed to be closer to other Christians than we are to our own blood family. Did y'all know that? You're supposed to be. Does that happen? Absolutely not. Once again, totally non-existent today. Family. Then, my Christian brothers. Satan's like, great. As long as they're not loving correctly, I got it. And he does. You see it happen all the time. Start messing with the blood person, you'll change. You'll see a Christian rip off all of his spirituality and become this fleshly protector. And things like, I got it. I don't care what they think they're doing. I got it. You get it? Because we're not staying in God's protection. We're doing our own thing. God love. You'd run to one of your brothers and sisters. Hey, this thing is going on with my blood. We are going to go in and we're going to take care of it the way God says. It will be handled correctly. Non-existent. That's why he says, honor one another above yourselves. That means how I treat you is better than I treat me in the body, based on God. None of this is based on desire. Do y'all get this? The difference is, and I got to stress this, I'm going to stress this even at the end, and I'm going to give an explanation of it. It doesn't mean I do what you like. I do what God says. That's the difference maker. I'll consider what you like, and I'll tell you what the difference in there. That's not the difference maker. So when it says honor one another better than yourself, it doesn't mean I always do what you want over what I want. Doesn't mean that. Please write that down. Please don't forget that. Because you see Christians doing that. It doesn't mean that. We're going to talk about that. It means I make sure I look after you in the Lord even more than I look after me. Do y'all get this? All right. But the what you want versus what I want, once again, we'll talk about that. Now, we need to make it a priority to be united in the Lord. It has to be a priority. That's going to be a theme that he says throughout the Bible, that unity. Like I told you, the thing that's torn that up has been politics, because you got Christians that will add a title before the word Christian, which automatically separates. I'm a liberal Christian, some will say. I'm a conservative Christian, some will say. And either they'll go to one group and another group. Where did God give those two groups? Where did he say that? He says, no, we're all the body. So how can I be one or the other? And you'll still hear people getting caught up on these, because there's websites that'll produce one, another website that'll produce the other. And one will say a truth and you'll believe them because you're part of this group. Another website will say something, you'll believe them because you're part of this group. And it's all nonsense. We're not supposed to be in the nonsense. When it shows in Romans 15, 5 through 6, it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. That as you follow Christ Jesus isn't some side note. That's all one sentence that goes together. When it says among us are unity as we follow Christ, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Christians are followers of Christ. So as we follow Christ, we all do it together. What the world should see is those Christians. And we're doing everything the same. And everything we're doing is what Christ said. That's it. When you start seeing those Christians doing cultural things, when you see those Christians doing fleshly things, things that are familiar to one another, there's a problem. There's called corruption. You see that? The agreement will always be in Christ, period. It says, so that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would be nervous, and I'm sure a lot of you would be, to start ministering to somebody, and then they go talk to somebody else who calls himself a Christian. The term that they're going to come out is called confused. What we had offer is variety. And one thing I always do is I make it seem like it's not me and then them. I go, let me show you what the Bible says. And by all means, if you talk to anybody, check and see what the Bible says. Try to put that out. Because if they think it's just me, they'll walk around telling people, well, Keith believes and Johnny believes. You see what I just did there? So now, oh, I got variety. Isn't that called the broad road, the wide gate? Remember he says, do not go that way because that leaves destruction. So why are we offering that, Christians? Why are we giving some, oh, don't worry, you're not going to hell. Next question should be, can you show me that in the Bible? And if you're giving any answers that are not completely supported by God, you are sinning and you're preaching another gospel. Be very careful on the answers you give. Make sure they're from God. Do not give some answer because you heard somebody say it. Make sure you can prove it. Why do I give so much scripture? So you don't think it's coming from me. I want to make sure you go back. Okay, let me look at the scripture again. Yep, that's what it's saying. It's in context. That's what you're going to do, right? Everybody's going to go back and they're going to check this. Because we are supposed to worship him in the same way. So why are there so many differences? And it's really not that hard. Everyone that I'll sit down with, the ones you can see that are wrong, all you have to do is, okay, let's go in the Bible and look at what they're saying. And those, some of them will start giving history. Well, back in the day, they used to do, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, where did history come in? Well, this is why this verse came. Wait. You're telling me to ignore a verse because of history. Is that your answer? Well, I'll choose to follow this verse. You can follow history. Then when it comes to answering to God, who do you think is going to stand better? I'm going to say, well, God, I just did what you said. The other person's going to say, well, God, you did this because. God's going to go, where did I tell you that? See the difference? Do you understand that? Reverence would be, I'm just doing what he tells me until he says otherwise. What we got going on here is intellectual. I can't see God doing that. And then others go, yeah, me neither. And then we follow that group until God goes, what did I tell you to do? Well, I thought, I felt, the way I see it. You see the problem here? Okay? So our relationship better be embedded with him and him, period. Stop giving and giving your own spin on things. We are not here to condemn, but to assess and assist. Without causing stumbling. What does that mean? So, and hopefully none of us in here or anybody listening to this is one of these, but are you one of those Christians that when they see you coming, they're going to see you being angry or disappointed in them? Okay, y'all hear that? But y'all understand that? Right? They see you being upset or disappointed in them. Should not be. Because it's not about me being disappointed or upset in you. I have no right. I'm a sinner just like you who is saved by grace through faith. My job is to assist. Hey, I see a problem. What can I do to help? Not, I can't believe you're doing. You ever get those and look over the glass at you and, oh, I'm so ashamed. I can't believe you did that. And you're just, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. Then what do? You avoid them like the plague because it became about them. Nobody down here has that right. Absolutely not. Now, I can present what God says and be very clear, but hey, you can't do that. based on God, but not me going, I'm so disappointed, I'm so angry. What did you do? Oh, why aren't you speaking to me? Because you're not following the Lord. No, that's not how it works. My attitude is worthless in this. Do not do that. He says in Romans 14, 13, he says, therefore, watch this, let us stop passing judgment on one another. So cut that out. But instead, make your mind up not to put stumbling blocks or obstacle in your brother's way. If it becomes about me, I'm the stumbling block. If they start living to please me, I'm the stumbling block. Do y'all get this? I remember when people wouldn't come to church, something like it. They were like, Pastor, maybe you should go. No, I don't. Why don't you? Because it'll look like I'm saying, I don't see you. You should come. What is the matter with you? No. Do I want them to come? Absolutely. But I can't make it me. They have to know. I'll put it out there. Hey, if you have any talk, let me know. If you need anything. But it's not for me to make you feel guilty in me. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. It all comes to God. Right? Because I may go, you know what? I understand what you're going through. You're good. And then God goes, I never knew you. The pastor said I was good. The pastor doesn't have that say. Nobody here has the authority to go over God. So I don't want to go to some man telling me everything's okay and only for God to tell me get away from me. That's devastating. So you don't want my approval. You want me to preach Christ's approval. Do y'all get this? This is the difference here. So be careful not to be that person. Be careful now. Do you want somebody that's going through something to be able to come to you and say, this is exactly what I'm doing? And your response is not, you did what? Our response is, okay, what are we going to do next? How are we going to fix this? You know that's wrong. I know you see that. How can we, do you see where I'm going with that? Okay, what are we not? Oh, man, I'm glad I'm not you. No, it's now it becomes us. How can we fix it? I'm spiritual. You who are spiritual, restore him gently. Isn't that what the word says? So I'm going to, okay, you're struggling with this. Let's talk about this. Right? Don't turn into tough love. Hey, I'm checking. Are you still doing that? No. It's one of those in which you call. You call me when you need me. You help them. But you've got to help them to help themselves. Do y'all see the difference here? Okay? I don't pressure them. I encourage them. All this that the Bible gives me, not what the world gives me. We will be held accountable when we talk bad about other believers without trying to help. Now, I know some are looking at it and say, Pastor, can we skip this part? Because I think a lot of times we tend to talk bad. Now, you'll get those others who read this the wrong way and they say nothing about others. Now, once again, it doesn't say not say anything, because in order for you to get help, I have to know you have to help. There are people who are struggling, right? And you'll get somebody that you'll tell, they'll say nothing, you'll go through your struggle, you'll crash. Then when people find out, oh man, how long has this been out? It's been happening a long time. Well, how come we didn't know about it? Well, I didn't want to. Please know the difference between definition and understand what God is saying. There are sometimes you can't do something, so you'll bring it to somebody so they can do something. That is expected. The Bible shows us that. Do you understand it? However, when I slander, that's the difference. And says in James 4:11-12, it says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? What does it mean to slander? It's what was my purpose for saying what I said. That's going to be different. So two people can say the exact same thing about somebody. Why did you do it? What was your purpose for saying it about your Christian brother? Right? If your purpose was gossip, to make them look bad, just to say some stuff, slander. If it's they need help, that's required. See the difference? And it'll come down to who you're talking to, how you're talking to them, what your next steps are. But if it's just to go against them, because a lot of times we need help with one another. So you go to somebody, so-and-such is doing this, what can I do? You're asking for help. If you go, let me tell you about so-and-such, that's slander. I don't care if it's true. Slander doesn't always mean it's a lie. It's why did you tell me that? What was the purpose of you telling me that truth? What good was it for me to hear that? Right? But if it's a warning, That's okay, because the Bible will warn you. If I know a Christian's out there is doing stuff for people and I notice it, I have to let you know. I have to warn you. The Bible shows us that. But if it's just something that shines bad upon you that I just want others to hear, slander. You get it? That's why he says, who are you to judge them? You can't. That's not for us to do. And I can't grumble against you. What does that mean to grumble? James 5:9, it says, do not grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. Didn't say you may be. Oh, no, you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. That word grumble literally means, you know what I mean? You just, I can't stand, and you just, and your actions towards them is, oh, I can't. If there's a problem, Christians go, how can I fix this? The world goes, oh, here they come. Please let them go, right? You get me? Now, I'm not saying you're not going to feel that way. You may never get rid of that feeling. Feelings have nothing to do with this, because we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. So even though I feel that way, my reaction better be otherwise. My reaction better be otherwise. Now, if there's a legitimate reason that you want to help them, you're going to see how you're supposed to help them. Because there are some people that you're not the only one going, oh, here they come. Right? You got some people that can really cause problems. So maybe we need to pull them aside and say, oh, we need to talk. All right? We need to talk. Once again, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. But just grumbling against them is a sin, and you will be judged. Unacceptable. God never accepts it. He's not going, I know, man. And we must have equal concern for all Christians in order to avoid the dangers of division. If you notice in 1 Corinthians 12:25-26, he says in verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body. And if you read a little bit before that, so that God said he gave equal concern for each. For those who got more attention, he gave more attention to those who had less. And he did this so the body shows equality in him. Now, if I walk by sight, it's going to look like some people get more than others. If I walk by faith, you'll see it's equality in God. Okay, that's going to be the difference maker. You got a lot of Christians who are still walking by sight. I don't know how you're doing, brother, because you can't. He says, my righteous ones walk by faith. So he's saying, so there's no division. He says, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now, let me explain something about equal concern. Equal concern means I don't look at what bothers you and go, that's stupid. And do you ever get people to do that? When somebody has a problem, you go, that's, now, I'm not saying it's not stupid. I'm saying I don't react with that stupid. How I react is it's a concern. How can we fix it? Y'all catch that? Because there are going to be some things that I need you to figure out. Yeah, that's kind of foolish. Or you need me to figure out. Yeah, that's kind of foolish. Not, oh, because it concerns you, let's all accept it. Doesn't mean that. Some things are foolish. It means I realize you're concerned. So now I'm concerned. And we're going to work on this together in concern, not in me looking down at you going, really? Really? Remember we used to use term, and some people still use it, what they call first world problem, third world problem. I don't know what I mean. You know what I mean? But we used to use those, making it seem like, oh, I just had first, and it kind of puffed us up, and we're not going to be as bad because there's people around the world have, all that stuff sounds great. No, every concern taken into consideration. First world problems are still problems. If somebody's struggling with something, you don't just minimize it and go, well, there are people in China that can't. No, yes, okay, that's a problem, but you don't eliminate their problem. You go, how can we deal with this problem? You see the difference? Because if you don't, it may be dealing with them. Don't blow off anybody. Work with them so that they can go, you know what? I really don't need to let this bother me. And y'all figure this out together. You don't beat them up. That's what it means when it says, equal concern. It says if one part suffers, everyone suffers. It doesn't go, most of us don't agree with you. You're just acting stupid. We're not going to even pay attention. No. Okay, he has a problem. Let's work on this so that he can figure this out with us. But if one part is honored, we all honor. There's no envy. There's no, why is it happening to me? And we understand what true honor means. Every part rejoices with it. Because unfortunately, in our world, we mixed up honor with desire. When something desirable happens, we think they've been honored. Is that the case? Not always. You understand? So we recognize the situation and we keep people grounded and we keep them to understand. So this is where you're always looking at one another with a mindset of taking what they say into consideration all the time. You're with me? Time after time, I've heard, somebody's brought concerns to others. Hey, someone's struggling with this. Really? They need to get over that. Sin. Complete sin. I don't care if you feel that way. It should never come out your mouth. It has to be. All right, so what are we going to do? How can we help them? And let's say you help them and they do it again. I don't know in the Bible where it says, well, I already talked to them one time. Because God's like, wait, is that your measurement? That's your measurement. That means you only can sin one time. Is that what you're telling me? You see where I'm going with this? How many people, I already talked to you one time. I'm not saying it again. You didn't hear me the first time. You know, God's like, I heard. So that means you better hear me the first time. Because remember, the measure you use, the same measure will be used again. Y'all remember that, right? We don't tend to remember that when we say those comments. If they need me to help them with the same thing 50 times, I'm going to help them with the same thing 50 times. Why? Because they want help. They're asking for help. It's until they go, I don't want your help. We're going to get to that. All right? But you don't have the right to push them away because I already talked about that. So did God. God talked to you about stuff over and over again. Cut it out. Get your self-righteousness out of the way. We must stop separating due to differences and strive to embrace by the agreement in Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I'm saying this in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying this in your likeness and what you want. I'm saying this as you being Christians, that all of you agree with one another. Now, it doesn't mean, hey, y'all, let's get together and find the best answer and go, no. The agreement is Christ. The agreement is Christ. There is a thing that's called disputable matters. Like I said, we're going to talk about that and see how that works. However, the agreement, we all better check to make sure it's from Christ. You don't want my answer. And I don't want your answer. We want Christ's answer. So how is Christ answering this? How does this fit in with Christ? He says that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you. This is unacceptable when I then go, I don't agree with you, so I'm going with group B. Now, hey, y'all, we all now have cliques. We have factions. We have dissensions of group A, group B. God's not going, well, I get it. No, terrible time. Because those who are participating in it are corrupt. What does that say about us who participate in it? There's a lot. No division. Absolutely none. If I see something that's causing division, I'm usually like, that's not worth talking. I hear a lot of garbage. There's a lot of garbage out there that will, and you can tell when somebody likes it because they'll be more inclined to believe it. You can tell when somebody doesn't like it because they'll be more inclined to call it foolish. They will never find out the truth. The whole vaccine thing was just ridiculous. None of us knew what it was going. You don't know if it's doing something to you, and you don't know if it wasn't. So how were you talking so strong on one? I heard this one doctor say you'll grow another leg. I heard another person say, if you don't take the vaccine, you'll grow another leg. And each of us had this, we have experiences, we tell these stories and all this stuff happened. And we picked a side instead of us going, I don't know. Because you know drinking water is bad. Did y'all know that? So what are you going to do? Eating the food down here is bad. Come on. Because all of us got into this thing, I'm not going to take it. And we start giving conspiracy reasons, not biblical reasons. It was your faith choice if you chose not to take. Up to you. Do whatever you want. But the minute I include God, you better make sure you're including God because God included God. That's for both sides. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay? But we got caught up in it. We picked a side. And it was like, wait, what? Right? Think about it. And we do this stuff. There should be no division. We should have shined like Christians. We should have sat down and said, okay, how are we going to deal with this vaccine? That didn't happen. Did not happen. Group A, group B. We picked a group. And we were adamant about that group. I didn't hear enough of people going, are we being Christian? Hey, are we being Christian? It's like, I read this about the vaccine. I read this about the disease. I read this. Who's right? Purposely done to make it see if I'm going to follow Christ. There's a ton of unknowns down there. But I should have said, hey, y'all, this is causing division. What are we doing? Stop. Causing division. What are we doing? We need to have a meeting amongst Christians. Causing division. Cut it out. The world ain't supposed to see us like this. He says, no division among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. They should have saw us like clockwork reacting to everything down here, not because of what we read on the internet, because of Christ. We'll go, you know what? If I take it, so be it. We're going to do it together. Or, you know what? If I don't take it, so be it. Or what we do as individuals, so be it. It'll be in the word why we do it. But all the answers you heard people coming up with were human, whatever reasons. And it caused arguments. And we should have been ashamed of ourselves. However, it fits the times. We are in terrible times, the time of me. Right? If I'm good with it, I'm going to follow it. And I'm going to follow all those people that are good with it with me. Christ's going, wait a minute, it's not about you, right? What if the entire body acted like a brain when it's supposed to follow the brain? Remember, the head is Christ. And why am I now making decisions on my own? Think about that, okay? Still a major problem, and we still have this problem. To successfully be unified, we must be spiritually conscious how we are with our brothers. 1 Peter 3, 8-9 says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. That's in that word translate one mind. Live as one mind with one. That means I have to make sure I have the mind of Christ and that you have the mind of Christ. More Christians I talk to consider Christ, but they have their own mind. Think about that. Did you see what I said? Consider Christ, but they have their own mind. That's why you have so much chaos. The mind of Christ means everything I think of has to be in line with Christ. Everything. Every single thing. It's saying be sympathetic. So what that means is, going back to that part again, if I see you struggling with something, I don't belittle it. I don't minimize it. I go, that's bothering you. How can we fix it? Now, please don't take the other end. I don't enable it either. Because there are some things people are going through that are foolish, like I said, but my job isn't to belittle it. It's some odd reason it's really bothering you. So how can I help for it not to bother you? Do y'all catch the difference there? It doesn't just mean, well, if it bothers you, then it must be serious. It's some odd reason it's serious that is bothering you. So we have to fix this. How can we fix it? That's sympathetic. Love as brothers. We talked about that earlier. Love as brothers. It's that connection. You know how love, have you ever had the ones where brothers argue? They'll go, oh, he gets on my nerve, but he's my brother. You ever hear people say that statement? And that's how we're supposed to be as Christians. They did something to bother me, but they're my brother. In other words, I don't have the option not to love them. That's how we're supposed to be. I see Christians go, I'm not speaking to them because. Are you serious? That's sacred. How are you messing with that sacredness? How are you messing with that? You told God, no, God, I'm not listening to you because they hurt my feelings. We're going to talk about that. All right? He makes very clear, be compassionate and humble. The compassionate and humble, you may say, well, isn't that the same thing as being sympathetic? The compassionate and humble, those words come together to mean I have to check me. I have to understand what they're going through. I'm going through also, just in a different way. They're hurt by something. That same something is not what's hurting me, but something is hurting me. And I have to take that in consideration. Keith, you have no right to judge what they're going through. Understand through you. Humility will make me go, yeah, that other thing bothers me, so I know what you're going through. As a counselor, it helps me. The minute somebody tells me something, I don't try to encompass what they're going through, because sometimes I can't get it. But when I think of the same thing I go through, did you get where I'm coming from? Then I go, oh, yeah, I know how this makes me feel. That must be how that makes them feel. You see what I'm saying? It makes you not, once again, belittle it. You realize they're all the same. And then watch what he says. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. I have to explain this. Because usually we react to people based on how they react to us or how they act to us. Action, reaction. It's not supposed to be that way necessarily. Now, what that means is you did something to hurt me. My response can't be, because you hurt me, I'm going to. That's wrong. Okay? What it also doesn't mean is, because you, let's say you're not speaking, doesn't mean I'm just going to keep speaking to you, because that could be kind of cool. Have you ever somebody stopped talking to you, try to talk to them, and they just kind of blow you off, and you keep trying to talk to them? That becomes weird. That's not what the Bible means anyway. Okay? My reaction to them has to be in a loving way of, how can I help them in this? So it doesn't mean I'm going to badger them and force my human love on them. It means I'm going to recognize they're going through something, and I see it more as they're going through something. How can I help them? What I don't do is make it about me. Does that make sense? The minute I make it about me, they say hi to me, I'm not saying hi to them. You sin. Now you're wrong. I don't care what they did. God's going to deal with them. Remember he said vengeance is mine? He said, I'll handle them. But you're doing that? Now vengeance is mine on you too. Wait, God, what did I do? What did I tell you to do? Right? I don't care how bad you treat me, I'm going to love you. I don't care how bad my feelings hurt, I'm going to love you. Now, love me may mean, you know what, they need the space, I'm going to stay away, and every opportunity I get, I'm going to get, but I'm not going to react because they hurt me. I'm going to recognize they did something. How can I minister and encourage them back to God? Y'all see the difference? All right, you're going to really think this through. Too many times, we're emotionally reactive. What? They did that to me. I'm going to. Now, you're both sinners. Major problem. Do not repay evil with evil, insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. There's a lot of missed rewards down here because of how we let people hurt our feelings. All right? Your feelings are meaningless. Thank you. Amen. But do you get that? And I mean it in a way, not in the sense of you don't consider. We're going to talk about that. So for those amens in there, you got to listen to it. I have to consider, but my feelings do not have the same foundations as my spirituality. We give way too much to our feelings, way too much. You understand that? However, I still must consider them. We're going to talk about it. The key to avoid creating separation in the body is to have heavenly values only. I'm going to stress that again. The key to create separation, to avoid creating separation in the body is to have heavenly values only. In this age of me, what we started doing was valuing God and valuing my family, valuing God and valuing my career, valuing God and valuing, you see what I'm doing? Now we got all these values and we think we can do that, even though he said, no, there's either or. But that's not what we're doing. We still keep having our own little values over here. Then we have this own spiritual value over here, which makes us holy, and we don't realize they're clashing. Look what he says here. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, he says, do not. So this is a command. This isn't an option. This is a command. Do not what? Store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth, rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Now, this is hard. What this is saying is I can't treasure my relationship with my wife here on earth. Why? One of us is going to die one day. Something's going to happen. Things may get in between, which will make me choose between God and my wife. And I have to choose God. That's devastating to think about, isn't it? All of those things. Some people don't deal with death because we just hope it just goes away. Not realizing, nope, it's going to happen. Remember, Brother Ray brought up his friend who went through it. And when his wife died, he was devastated. And God hasn't changed that. And it's because he treasured his wife on earth. We treasure our kids to where we'll give in to sinful behaviors and give in to sinful actions because we're treasuring them on earth. And he told us not to do it. And we call it love. Y'all see the problem here. But he says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do break in and steal. Why? He says, so in other words, my treasure with my wife is based on God. Now, I understand one day one of us is going to die. I'll understand, babe, I love you, but you'll never come before the Lord. I'll understand with my kids, God said, so I'll act. Not, oh, they're my child, so I'll ignore. See the difference? Right? It's an either or. And he's making very clear where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Anybody who thinks you're getting away with doing both, you're just fooling you. You're not mocking God. It'll show in how you are. The thing you devote your time to and what's the basis for it is showing what your value is. When I react to you based on God, I value you in God the way God says so. When I react to you based on you, I'm actually hating you. Y'all get this? You might feel like I'm loving you, but I'm actually hating. Remember, when Peter said, no, this can't happen to you, Jesus. Remember that? It felt like love. But Jesus, man, you are a stumbling block to me. it was hate. Know the difference. We have access to true spiritual answers. Stop leaning upon emotional feelings on that. That's where it becomes dangerous when our feelings come into play. Now, we're going to close on this part. And I know I'm over, but it's okay, because this is very important. And hopefully you paid attention to this entire part of this lesson. But this part here, I'm going to go over something, but I got to distinguish between two things because people were confused on it. So this second half is on your paper, but not on your paper. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. And the things I have down there, I added them because of a conversation, a couple of conversations I had. And it's wonderful how these come up to give clarity, because I didn't realize as many didn't understand this. And I'll show you what I mean. So we have to follow God-given instructions to deal with conflicts among believers. Okay, so God gives us exactly how we're supposed to deal when I have a problem with you. Here's the problem. He starts off in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, saying, if your brother sins against you. Now, I got to stop there. It says sins against you. Now, in our age today, we take sins against you to also mean hurt your feelings. Now, there's a difference between when I sin against you, that's actually going against God against you, and interests. Now, let me show you this. We'll come back to that page. Nothing based on me. Remember this verse? Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Okay, it's earlier in the study, but you can mark that down here. When he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. But here's the part I want you to pay attention to. Verse 4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. Did you catch something different in there? Now, when it comes to spiritual things, I totally deny me. When it comes to what we call disputable matters, and that's why interests are disputable desires. What that means, there are things that have nothing to do with God. I'm going to give you an example on this. And have nothing to do with God. So I take yours into consideration as well as me taking mine. Now, here's how it works. So sinning against you, if me and my wife were talking and I'm not quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, I sin. That's a problem. If I do anything where I'm not patient with my wife, I sin. You see where I'm going with this? If I play favorites in any way, I sin. Why? Because all of these God makes clear I can't do. However, my wife says, I love wearing green. And I said, I don't like you in green. You get where I'm coming from? That's an interest. It has nothing to do with God. So how it should work is we both take each other's interests into consideration. So either she'll go, then I won't wear green all the time. Or I'll go, you know what? Even though I don't like green, I love you anyway. Wear green anytime you want. Or she'll go, you know what? I know you don't like green. I'm going to choose not to wear green, but remember, I like green. You see where I'm going with this? We're considering each other, but they're just interests. They're not serious. God adds disputable matters for us to show respect for one another. The term is called compromise. That's why Romans 14 said if one chooses to eat meat and the other chooses not to eat meat, that's their choice. I respect your version. You respect mine. Do you get it? We talk about it. I consider yours. You consider mine. It's not going against God. We're all good. You get it? This is why that one verse saying if eating meat causes my brother to fall, I'll never eat meat again. What it doesn't say, if my brother doesn't like the fact that I eat meat, then I'll never eat meat again. That's desire. You have some people that spiritually are weak that they see eating meat as sinning. So it'll cause them to fall. Drinking is the best way of doing that. There are some people that don't understand the difference between drinking, getting drunk, and so on and so forth. So a Christian will go, you know what? I'll never drink again. Why? Because I don't want to make you stumble. Right? This is your salvation. However, if you just didn't like the fact that I drink, you get where I'm coming from. It's just a desire. You know the difference, but you just don't like it. That's a desire. I can choose not to or not to do it, and I haven't sinned. Does everybody get that? All right. Very important you get that, because too many times we blended two together in this world of me, especially in marriages, and we can't do that. So now, We're talking about when I do something against you that's clearly in God's word, I have no business doing. And make sure you know what this is, because you get some people that become Bible scholars and they start beating the other person up with the Bible and they don't know what they're talking about. Please don't do that, because then you become a fool. You better know what you're talking about first. Do you understand that? Don't use the scripture here, the scripture there to beat somebody up. All right? Because God's saying, oh, is that how we're measuring things? Remember that. Please be careful with that. So he continues on. So in this part, how do I deal with it? They're saying, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Now, here's the deal. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Now, let me show you how that works. You did something against God's word against me. I say, can we talk? Just me and you. I don't bring it up to anybody else. We talk about it. You listen to me. You don't just go, no, I didn't. Please be careful with the whole defense, because obviously you've seen me do something. You might go, I didn't realize I did that. It's a conversation you're having. That's listening. If I just blow you off and continue to do it, we may have a problem. That's where part two comes in. We'll show part two. But if I listen, so listening, quick to listen means I did that. I talked to you that way. How many of us do that? When somebody says, I think you're yelling at me. You think I'm yelling? I didn't realize that. No, what do we say? I'm not yelling. Obviously, something's matter with your ears. We blame them, and they blame us. And now we're mad at each other because it's all about me. Instead of going, I didn't think I was yelling. Obviously, you do. Let's talk about this. See how that's supposed to work? You get it. Just the two of you, if he listens, you want him over. What that doesn't mean is this will never happen again. Let's say it happens again. Guess what you're going to do? You'll go back, just you two, and you'll do this forever. Please don't get that self-righteous, I've already talked to them about this. I'm not going to talk to them about this again. God is going, right? Wait a minute. Is that how we're doing it? So you're only doing it two times, right? And so that means after two times, I don't talk to you again. You're just going to go to hell. Is that how it's going to work? Think about that. Hopefully that scares you enough to make you go, oh, okay, if it takes 20 times for them to get it, takes 20 times for them to get it. And as long as they're listening to me, I'll bring it up again. Don't get that hurt feeling of, oh, you just don't listen to me. And how come you're not doing this? How come you're not? Cut that out. Get rid of that. Bring it to them again. Now, let's say they then turn maybe the third time, if not the first time, and go, you know what? I'm tired of hearing about this. That means they stopped listening. That's the key. If they don't listen, this is if he listens to you, want him over. But if he will not listen, doesn't mean if he doesn't get it, if he doesn't keep doing it. No, if he just goes, I don't want to hear it. Next step, you take one or two others along with you. Here's where you don't get the clicks. I don't take two others that agree with me. I take two other Christians. You get where I'm coming from. You take two other Christians. And if you're really doing it in true love, you won't even tell them what you're going to go over. Hey, can you guys come over? I need you to help us with something. Did you catch that? Now, let me explain my side so I can really fill you with as much of my side, so then when you come up here, you're already on my side. You get it now? It's, I need you as Christians to help because I want to know if I'm wrong. I want to know if it's something I need to fix. And now, Christians, you have a responsibility. I don't want your opinion, and you don't want my opinion. We want God's answers. I don't want what you think, what you feel, how you see it. You want God's answer. So you're going into this spiritually, responsibly. So you take the other two along if they matter. And that's why I said, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So they got it. And the Lord, they're dealing with it. The person listens. We're good. However, he refuses to listen to them. Then you take it to the church. In our case, you have some cases it'll be to the board. Sometimes it could be to the pastor. Our case is the board and the pastor. It could be just to me or it could be to the board. In some cases, I'll put it out to the board. Some churches will do it to the church. The reason why we don't do that is membership is different here. We don't have membership per se. You know, you don't sign a book and now you're ours. We don't do that. So it varies. So we're going to have different people coming in who are not in line with God's word. So I can't have them. You see the difference. All right. So it's either going to fall on me. That's my responsibility. I better take it serious because I have to answer to God, or I give it to the board because I need more spiritual guidance. Now, if anybody knows me, the minute you start talking anything outside the word of God, I hear blah, 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 and it goes out the door. Worthless. Not going to do me any good. You understand? And I hope you're doing the same thing when it comes to these matters, because here's the case. If he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. What's a pagan or a tax collector? They're unbelievers. It's basically saying this person who still goes, I don't know what you're talking about, and they keep doing it, are they really a Christian? Did you get it? Somebody came and said, keep your doing this. And I feel in my heart of hearts, whatever that means, I'm not doing it. They said I'm doing it. So let's talk about it. Doesn't mean I am doing it. It's my brother came to me and something I'm doing is causing this. Let's talk about it. See where I'm going with this? If not, they're not a Christian. So the key is for him to listen. You first show him his fault, just between the two of you. Take one or two others if he doesn't listen to show him his fault. And if he still doesn't listen, take it to the church concerning his fault. This is what we're supposed to do. Hopefully we're following this and we're not doing it the world's way, because God's not just letting it pass and saying, well, people are people. You know how they are. That's going against you. You hold grudges. You have arguments. You have these little things that you're having. It's only damaging you. Cut it out. Follow God's way of doing it. Take your attitude and put it in your back pocket and say, let's deal with this in God, because we are living in God. Amen? All right, let's stand. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, glory, glory. Hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down, I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my burdens down, friends don't treat me like they used to. Since I laid my burdens down, friends don't treat me like they used to. Since I laid my burdens down, burdens down, burden. Since I laid my burdens down, burdens down, burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Praise God, we're going to have prayer first for those who are online, and we'll ask for prayer requests and praise reports for those who are here, and then we'll pray out once again. Amen. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you your glory, the praise, and the honor. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance. We ask your forgiveness for us adjusting or changing or doing anything to it instead of reverently following you. Thank you so much for being so patient with us. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace, dear God. Help us to lean and to walk in that and not apply our own selves. Help us not to lean upon our own understandings, but take the understanding you have given to us in your spirit. We ask for blessings for those who are in the hospital, those who have lost loved ones, those who are struggling in life. Help us to make sure we're encouraging in faith. Help us to point to you, dear God, and to value you and you only. We thank you so much for these opportunities and all that you have done and all these blessings. We ask your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say.